Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church on another Sunday to praise our God for his grace. Last week we talked about persecution and how God gives us his word to strengthen us to endure persecution. This week we're going to talk about now what we do with that word. We share it. So you'll see that reflected throughout the service today. We'll also be celebrating the Lord's Supper together. So we'll be sharing our unity and fellowship together, so prepare your minds and hearts to receive the body and blood of the Lord. If you are not a member of our congregation or of a congregation within our fellowship, since this is a fellowship meal, we ask that you refrain from partaking of the Lord's Supper. And if you have any questions about how you might join us in the future, come see me after the service. I'd love to talk to you about it. Without further ado, let us begin our worship of our God with hymn 182. May God bless your worship this morning. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us, and He's given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ, and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now in the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for planting in us the seed of your word. By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive it with joy and to bring forth fruits in faith and hope and love. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated. As we take a look today at sharing God's word, even in the midst of persecution, we see that exactly happened in our first lesson from Amos chapter 7. This will also serve as the sermon text for today. From Amos 7. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. Amos is raising a conspiracy against you in the very heart of Israel. The land cannot bear all his words. For this is what Amos is saying: Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will surely go into exile, away from their native land. Then Amaziah said to Amos, "Get out, you seer. Go back to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there. And do your prophesying there. Don't prophesy anymore at Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom." Amos answered Amaziah, "I was neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I was a shepherd, and I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, 'Go, prophesy to my people Israel.' Now then, hear the word of the Lord. You say, 'Do not prophesy against Israel and stop preaching against the descendants of Isaac.' Therefore, this is what the Lord says: Your wife will become a prostitute in the city, and your sons and daughters will fall by the sword. Your land will be measured and divided up, and you yourself will die in a pagan country. And Israel will surely go into exile, away from their native land." The word of the Lord. We join together in Psalm 78.
Your glory is the light of
The second lesson comes from 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we're reminded that even in the midst of persecution, we can still share the word even by the way we live. From 1 Timothy 3. Here is a trustworthy saying: whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. The word of the Lord. The verse of the day is very fitting, as always, from Deuteronomy 30. Alleluia. The word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you may obey it. Alleluia. Please stand in honor of the gospel. The gospel for today comes from Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. This is a continuation from last week where we saw Jesus rejected by the people even in his own hometown, but now he still sends out his disciples two by two to preach repentance. From Mark 6. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions: take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. The Gospel of the Lord. We now confess our faith according to the word that we have by using a confession of faith that has been used for over 1,600 years, the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the hymn of the day. Thank you. God's God-breathed word is yours, brothers and sisters, from Jesus, our Savior, through the Father, too. Amen. The sermon text for today comes from the first lesson, from Amos. We'll get to that in a second, but let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your word. Amen. What's in a name? Well, quite a lot, actually. Names can pack a lot of meaning, and they can be very fitting, too. For example, the name Isaiah means the Lord is salvation. If you've ever read from Isaiah, you know that that's a very fitting name. The name Ezekiel means God strengthens. Daniel means God is my judge. Zechariah means the Lord remembers. Lots of fitting names for believers and especially prophets. Amos's name, also very fitting. Amos means burden or burden bearer. Side note, we were this close to naming Gideon Burden in English, but decided against it. No. But Amos, very fitting name for Amos. He had a very difficult ministry. If you read through Amos, you'll get exactly what I mean. 95% of Amos's messages were confronting or guiding away from sin. Only 5% were actually messages of comfort in the gospel. That's a difficult ministry. Amos's name was very fitting, and therefore, in a way, all Christians could really take the name of Amos. We talked last week about how we live in an ungodly world and we all face persecution. But we also talked about how God has given us his word so that we can endure, we can stand strong in it. We also talked about what we do with that word a little bit. We talked about how we teach, rebuke, correct, and train in righteousness with that word. Well, this week we're going to dive more into that. In the midst of persecution, we share the words that God has given us. Amos was given God's words in a very difficult situation. In the first place, he was from the southern kingdom of Judah and had to go to the rival northern kingdom of Israel. And not only that, he had to go to Bethel. Bethel was one of the towns in the northern kingdom of Israel where Jeroboam I set up golden calves for the people to go bow down and worship. That's what they were to do, regularly go bow down and worship to a golden calf. Now, 150 years later, under the rule of Jeroboam II, Amos has to go share a difficult message in Bethel. This is the message he had to share. The Lord says, the high places, the worship places of Isaac, will be destroyed, and the sanctuaries of Israel will be ruined. With my sword, I will rise against the house of Jeroboam. It was all judgment from the Lord. Not exactly a happy message to share in the heart of Jeroboam's kingdom, but that's the message that they needed to hear. And so that's the message that Amos was given to share. But keep this in mind also. It was a warning. If God didn't care about them, he would have just brought the judgment and not given them any warning. But no, he wanted them to see how bad this idolatry was, what it deserved, and the punishment that it was coming. And so he tells them. We saw a few weeks ago how God is very merciful when people listen and repent, when we looked at Jonah and Nineveh. But this message wasn't so well received, especially by one man. His name was Amaziah. He was the priest in Bethel, so he was in charge of all of the worship. He obviously didn't like what Amos was saying, so he took it upon himself to report it to the king. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. Amos is raising a conspiracy against you in the very heart of Israel. The land cannot bear all his words. For this is what Amos is saying. Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will surely go into exile away from their native land. The heavy message that Amos was preaching was obviously hitting Amaziah's heart pretty hard. In fact, he takes it upon himself to show Amos what's what. Then Amaziah said to Amos, "Get out, you seer. Go back to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there. Do your prophesying there. Don't prophesy anymore at Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom." So basically he says, "Get out. We don't want to hear it. Go earn your living back in Judah. Go back to your home, Amos. This is Bethel, and we don't need to hear it." So Amos was living up to his name. He had to bear the burden of those harsh words, even from a priest. And yet again, Amos has to live up to his name. Not only does he have to bear the harsh words from Amaziah, the Lord wants him to respond. But first, he has to get something straight about whose message this actually is. Amos answered Amaziah, "I was neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I was a shepherd. I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, 'Go prophesy to my people Israel.'" Amos wasn't there trying to earn a living in the northern kingdom. He had a job. He had multiple jobs. He was a herdsman. He was a shepherd. He took care of sycamore fig trees. He was a regular dude. He wasn't there peddling the prophecies of God for profit. He wasn't chomping at the bit to share this harsh message in the northern kingdom, in the heart of Jeroboam's kingdom. Yet this is what the Lord gave him to do. This is the message he gave. What was he supposed to do with it? Keep it to himself? Was he not supposed to share this warning with his own brothers and sisters? And so by opposing Amos, Amaziah was directly opposing the Lord himself. So Amos has to live up to his name yet again and give a very difficult message to Amaziah. "Now then, hear the word of the Lord. You say, 'Do not prophesy against Israel and stop preaching against the descendants of Isaac.' Therefore, this is what the Lord says. Your wife will become a prostitute in the city, and your sons and daughters will fall by the sword. Your land will be measured and divided up, and you yourself will die in a pagan country." The Lord didn't mince any words there, did he? I think that's about as harsh of a warning as you can give to another person. To tell a man that his wife, the high priest's wife in Bethel, because of the invading army and because of the resulting exile, she would have to become a prostitute in order to get by. That his kids would be killed in the invasion. That his land, that's his heritage, his most treasured possession, would be taken and divided up. And that he, the priest in Bethel, would go and shamefully have to die in an unclean pagan land. Yeah, the Lord didn't pull any punches with that warning. But that was exactly the message Amaziah needed to hear. He needed to hear a hard-hitting, heavy message to try to break that shell that was on his hardened heart. And so that's the message that the Lord gave. In fact, he even intensifies it by using Amaziah's own words in his report to the king to show Amaziah, "I know what's going on. And Israel will surely go into exile away from their native land." There it was. It was all out there. Now it was on Amaziah. Would he refuse? It wasn't on Amos. Amos did his job. Amos shared the words of God even in a difficult situation. We find ourselves in difficult situations too, don't we? There might be a loved one that needs to hear a strong message from the Lord. They might need to hear a strong message of impending judgment because of their sins. They need to hear 99 times, if they have to, you confronting their sin before you get to share that one time of forgiveness in Jesus. Or you might find yourself with an unbeliever who is demanding an explanation for your beliefs. They need to hear 100% God's thoughts and words on the issue. You might even find yourself the only one clinging to God's word in a whole room full of people. They need to see you standing strong in the word. So in those pressure-filled, difficult, burdensome moments, what do you do? Do you keep your mouth shut? What if Amos would have said, forget that. I'm not sharing that message in the heart of Jeroboam's kingdom. I'm doing just fine with these simple sheep and picking figs. No way I'm going up there. Then Israel wouldn't have heard the warning that God wanted to give them. So then do we change the message, soften it a little bit? But really, when we do that and make it easier to swallow for someone else, we're not making it easier for them. We're making it easier for us. They might need to hear this heavy-hitting, hard message that could crack the shell on their heart, but if we soften that blow, that won't happen. They won't listen anyway. Now, when we do that, we make it easier for ourselves. Not on them, because it won't be easier on them come judgment day. How many times do we fail at this? How many times do we fail to be good Amoses and bear the burden? How many times do we commit the sin of Amaziah and ignore God's message of warning, judgment, and encouragement? What was God's message to Amaziah? Terrible pain, suffering, and death. Inconceivable judgment. The same gist of that message is given to us. So now hear the word of the Lord from me. Pain, suffering, death, and judgment come to those who do these things. And the one who did them was Jesus. Wait, what? In God's eyes, the one who did them was Jesus. Let's be honest. Jesus could very well have taken the name Amos, because that's what he was for us. He was our burden bearer. And it wasn't a very light burden, was it? You think you are shocked and appalled by the judgment that God gave to Amaziah? That's nothing from what Jesus took for you. Pain and suffering? Yeah, Jesus knew that. Especially as the wrath of God was leveled upon him. Death? Yeah, Jesus knew that too. Especially the sentence and judgment of eternal death upon every single sin that he took for us. Separation from his home land and from an unclean place having to go. Yeah, Jesus knew that too. Hell? That's about as unclean a place as possible. And Jesus took that for you too. Jesus bore a heavy burden. Inconceivable judgment for you. Who in their right mind would want to change or soften that message? Who would want to withhold the knowledge of the size of that judgment that Jesus took and thereby fail to show the heart that Jesus has for us all? Not us. So we share it. Even if we have to share and confront sin 99 times before we get to share the size of Jesus' heart and forgiveness, we do it. Because that's what we're equipped with. We have God's words the same. They're God-breathed. And so we share those. Teach, rebuke, correct, and train. You're not going to have to tell somebody that their wife is going to become a prostitute. You're not going to have to tell somebody that their kids are going to die by an invading nation. You're not going to have to tell somebody that their land's going to be divided up all because of their sins. No, that was Amos's burden to bear, and he bore it. You and I, though, still have a burden. We still have a message of dire judgment for those who reject God's word, and so we share it. It's not always going to work out. They might reject you just like Amaziah rejected Amos. Amos learned, ironically, the meaning of his name. Amaziah means the Lord is strong. Yeah, he found that out. And so will those who reject the message. But when we share it, that's not on us. If they reject it, that's on them. But it doesn't always get rejected, does it? Many times people listen. Amaziah and the northern kingdom, they didn't listen. They were punished. But Nineveh listened. The southern kingdom, they didn't listen. They were taken off into exile, but by God's grace, there was a remnant that was preserved. They listened. We, by God's grace, have listened. Those who have taught us about God's warning and also God's forgiveness listened, and those before them, and those before them, and so on and so on. Who knows? Maybe you sharing this hard-hitting, heavy message might crack the shell on somebody's heart and set a chain of events that would set off a whole generation of believers. Who knows? People need to hear about the size of judgment that Jesus took for all of us. And so we share it. Gladly. So fellow Amoses, stand strong. You can stand strong because you have Jesus in his word. You can share it, and you will. Even when it's difficult and burdensome to do so, you will share his word because you know the size of the burden that Jesus took, not just for us. He took it for them too. So go let them know. Go share the word of the Lord. Amen. Please stand. May the word that tells us about Jesus and the size of his heart guard your hearts and minds through faith in him. Amen. We join together as a prayer, a song called Create in Me, found on page 10 in your bulletins. May be seated for the offering. Thank you. This time I'd like to ask all of those who are volunteering for VBS to come forward for installation. You can all line up right along here along the railing. Dear friends in Christ, you have been called as teachers and volunteers in the Vacation Bible School of this congregation. You are doing the work the Lord has committed to His church, to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to make disciples of all nations, and to feed the lambs of the Lord Jesus. You do this work on behalf of St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church and in association with the parents who entrust their children to your care. Your work is both a great privilege and a serious responsibility. To equip yourselves for this blessed work, it is necessary that you faithfully study God's Word, devote yourselves to prayer for those entrusted to your care, and carefully prepare for the lessons you will teach. It is also of great importance in the teaching of the Savior's little ones that you set an example by leading Christian lives. I now ask you in the presence of God and this congregation, are you willing to accept this responsibility and to do your work faithfully according to the ability God has given you? If so, answer yes, and I ask God to help me.
Yes, and I ask God to help me.
I now install you as teachers and volunteers in the Vacation Bible School of St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May God grant you His Holy Spirit and give you wisdom and strength to carry out your duties to His glory and for the good of His children. Members of St. Mark's, I urge you to regard these teachers and volunteers as servants of Jesus Christ, teachers of the gospel, and God's gifts to His church. Support them in their work, pray for them, and bring your children to Vacation Bible School so that you and your families may receive the eternal blessings the Lord promises to those who hear and learn His word. Let us pray. Gracious Savior, you bless every effort to bring children up in the Christian faith. We ask you to give wisdom, kindness, and perseverance to teachers who feed your lambs. Teach them your truth so that they may teach others. Cause the children entrusted to their care to be eager to learn about their Savior. May your goodness go out into all the earth so that people in this congregation and in this community and everywhere may hear it and believe it. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Go in the peace of the Lord. May the Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you and keep you. You may return to your seats. We continue with the responsive prayer of the church and the Lord's Prayer found on page 11 in your bulletins. We pray. Holy Spirit, we praise you for pouring out spiritual understanding on Jesus' disciples at Pentecost. You came to them when they were confused and in doubt and taught them what Jesus meant when he told them he would die and rise again. You came to them when they were timid and afraid, and you moved them to speak boldly about the great things God had done to save the world from sin.
Dear Holy Spirit, we too have felt uncertain and hesitant. Give us the courage of conviction of faith to speak to others about Jesus, as you enabled the disciples to do on Pentecost. Let us experience the joy of leading others to discover
Forgive us, Holy Spirit, for the times we have failed to speak of Jesus' love to others because we were afraid. Forgive us for not trusting in your power and for not relying on your word of truth to bring others to faith. Help us remember your promises that when we share the Savior with others, you will be with us and will give us the words to say. Lord, we praise you on behalf of those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries this week. Continue to shower them with your blessings and give them many more years to your glory. We also come to you on behalf of Andy Schwieger, who underwent emergency surgery yesterday for blood clots in his brain, as well as everyone faced with health challenges. Guide them and their doctors, bless their recovery, comfort them with the hope of the resurrection, and sustain them with the knowledge that you will never leave them nor forsake them. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Empower us to seize every opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus' love and salvation. Open the hearts of people everywhere so that many thousands will enter the kingdom of believers through the gospel, which your church proclaims throughout the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Redeemer. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Please stand in honor of the gospel and the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, and we praise you especially for the glorious resurrection of your Son, the true Passover Lamb, who by his sacrifice took away the sins of the world, and by his resurrection restored everlasting life. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
take and eat the true body of our Lord, Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for the full forgiveness of your sins. Take and eat the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for you.
Thank you.
body and blood strengthen and preserve your faith in Christ Jesus until the day you are with him forever in paradise. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven.
Please stand. We'll give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. O God, the Father, source of all goodness, in your loving kindness you sent your Son to share our humanity. We thank you that through him you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We also pray that you will not forsake us, but will rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, so that we willingly serve you day after day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. You may be seated for our closing hymn, number 318.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure worshiping with you. Does it feel a little warm in here? Anybody? Yes? It wasn't just the hard-hitting message? Okay. All right, we'll check that out. Make sure you're drinking plenty of water today. Please stick around for Sunday school and Bible study. There will still be Bible information class in the chapel, but today in the sanctuary, we're going to have a special presentation from Bill and Lana LaPlante. They're members at Hope. It's about the Ark Encounter in Kentucky, so stick around. Very interesting stuff there. If you don't see Pastor Colander, that's because he's on vacation, so may God continue to bless his vacation. VBS starts tomorrow. So there's a meeting today for volunteers. All of you volunteers who came up here, remember to come back. I believe it's at noon, from noon to 1 in the gym. So there's a meeting for that. And then we start tomorrow morning at 8:15. Got to be here. The new principal arrived this week, Greg Thiesfeldt and his wife Lisa. Do I see them? I do. Do you want to be embarrassed and stand up? There they are. Welcome them. You'll get a chance to formally meet them and welcome them, formally / informally, at our quarterly potluck that we're going to have on July 29th. So remember that, get your recipe ready for that. You'll get to meet them, but if you wanted to say hi to them and praise God for them coming here safely and everything came safely, correct? Good. God be praised. God is good. Dad's breakfast is this week, Friday, 6 a.m. at Black Bear Diner. Get ready for some good food and some good Bible talk, some good dad talk, if you're a dad that's interested in that. Again, 6 a.m. Black Bear Diner. Can't beat that. There's also going to be a meeting, just a heads up, coming up on August 5th. It's a discussion meeting about a second site that we're going to try to start in Folsom, El Dorado Hills area. Everybody's welcome to it, but especially if you're from the Folsom and El Dorado Hills area, come to this meeting. We're going to answer a lot of questions, and we're going to just kind of discuss the ways that we can reach out into the community. It's going to be still be St. Mark's, but it'll just be another branch of our ministry. So please pray for that as well. Thank you. All of the other announcements that you need are going to be in the weekly update. A note on that, too. If we don't have your email, but you would want to receive those weekly updates electronically, please let us know. I checked the list. We have 137 emails on the list. I'm positive we have more than 137 emails in the congregation. So if you want to receive that electronically, that usually comes out on Saturdays. Let me know or send an email to myself or Pastor Colander. Our cards are there. Or send one to Carolyn. All of our information's online. So send us a message with your email. Otherwise, everything else is in the weekly updates. May God bless you this week as you share his word, even in the midst of persecution. Please stick around and greet one another.